What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Ben, you talked about wanting to see some clarity at the left tackle spot this week. What did you learn during practices, joint practice, and maybe what you could see?
I think this game is going to go a long way, and I would be remiss to say I could really tell from the sideline view. We're going to have to look at that tape to know for sure, but we kind of came into this game saying that this was going to be a big one for that eval.
Well, guess what? When that game was a big one for that eval, according to head coach Ben Johnson, this is Rahimian Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Brody, and we get to hear about that game where they got 528 total yards of offense against Buffalo in a 38-0 win. I'd say check mark. You did your job and then some. That was nice to hear from Ben Johnson.
Check mark. I'm checking Mark right now.
Oh, here I am. I have been checked.
Oh, should we? I feel like we should do some sort of special open here because it's a different kind of Bears hit with Mark.
It's a newer type.
Can I get some extended dance mix type of music?
The request is in.
Let's see what the DJ does.
You know, like maybe some think Anthony Rizzo walk up music type of vibe.
Oh yeah.
So really, Mark Grody walk up music.
It's time for an extended dance mix Bears hit with Mark Grody.
Bears. Should we start with the offensive line? Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, the Grody open works.
Yeah.
So yeah, this welcome to the extended dance mix version.
Welcome to the jungle.
That's a different song.
Oh yeah.
Gripping your pillow down with Mark Grody. We start on the offensive line.
Let's do it.
We do have fun in games.
Let's do it. Yo, Braxton Jones was your starting left tackle last time. It's looking more and more like he's probably going to be the guy. Theo Benedet played left tackle. Karan Amagaji was in there. Ozzy Trapillo was just right tackle last night. But I was at his locker last night, Braxton Jones's, and I asked him about how openly critical Ben Johnson and Dan Roschar have been of the left tackle competition. When I say that, the exact phraseology that I quoted to him was about those guys saying, nobody has grabbed the gig yet. Nobody has grabbed it. And I wondered to Braxton Jones how he takes that from the coaching staff.
It's the nature of the game. I can't, you know, take it to heart. All it is for me is, you know, I got to go out there and work harder. More than anything, it's just show myself clarity, show myself what I need to do to improve. To be honest, I don't want to look too hard on it or give myself too much of a, you know, like a gap to close or whatever. But I, you know, eight months ago, I did severely break my ankle. And so I'm still working and I'm doing a lot of things for myself, trying to show myself. And then obviously showing myself more than anything is going to allow these coaches to see. But at the end of the day, when he says things like that, it's, you know, totally fine. Obviously, if you are a competitor, it fires a little bit in you, and that's completely fine. I love it, and I think it just brings a better competitive nature for sure.
So the injury thing, which you brought up, obviously. So relative to that, do you feel like you're where you should be because of that? Is that partly what you're saying?
I personally think I'm way ahead of just you know, the progression of how it went for me personally, and just, you know, the mental battle it was. You know, like I said, I don't want to be too down on or anything like that, but the mental battle was huge for me, and to be where I'm at, back on the field, putting good reps out there, good film out there still, at least I'm, you know, being critical of myself too. I need to clean up some things, but just still working on that and getting back is, you know, for me, myself, and what I've done, it's unbelievable.
You know what this is a reminder of when I hear him talk about this? It's that we are in this such asset-driven fantasy football type of world where we sometimes forget, especially because we don't necessarily hear from these players when they're hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get to take the journey with them like, yeah, I'm going to be out, surgery was fine, whatever, whatever. You get such limited exposure. And so it's great that you're in the locker room talking to guys that They're not coming to the podium every day.
No.
And right. So you get a real insight into what they're going through, and it's more than just the physical.
Yeah, I mean, what he said, man, like, it was, like, even the body language when we were talking, he's like, man, 8 months ago, I did severely break my, it was like a reminder, hey, everybody, that did happen. And then he talks about the mental battle of it, just to be, so his answer was, the way I would sum it up, AI style, is that he's like, I am right where I should be, and I was hurt 8 months ago, and this is tough. What's going on? It's not good. It's not ideal. The Bears, I mean, it doesn't do anything. It probably makes Bears fans worries more, actually, but that's a guy being real about what's going on.
A couple of thoughts about Braxton Jones, and I've been as critical of him as anyone, but every time I hear him speak, I'm reminded as to why he's in this position. Like that, he's really good on a microphone. And you see why people want to work with him or why they like him or they want to give him these chances.
Smart guy, really smart
dude. It's not just that. That is incredibly graceful to be able to say what he said in that way. There's a lot of people, myself included, who would be a little more emphatic about it. I'd be like, dude, I broke my ankle. Like, what do you want from me? I'm 6'5". The ankle's twice the size of yours. But he doesn't do that.
That's where it was going. So you did hear that. I'm glad you guys heard it the same way.
But the way he said it, every time he's on a microphone, I really enjoy what he has to say. I enjoy his personality.
Amen.
I also say it's not the National Talking League, unfortunately. It makes sense as to why he's still probably your best bet at left tackle. But here's where it starts to get concerning is, why is he your best bet at left tackle? Mm. You know, why is he still the dude? And he looked much better in this game than he did the week before. His anchor looked better. His base and his setup looked better. You know, I've been critical of how much of a stance he has. I think it's a little narrow for somebody his height. I take up as much space as you possibly can, but he wasn't getting pushed back into Caleb Williams as quickly and in the same spot. You know, like, you can get pushed back into your QB, but if you're behind him, it's okay, right? if you're behind him, that means that that he's still protected in the pocket. So that hasn't been necessarily what we've seen in previous appearances out of him.
Well, and the big thing, Layla, too, it's a lot of offensive linemen will say this, but what are you working on? Like, what do you need to be better at? And he just said, got to get that pad level lower.
And unfortunately, what does that require? If you stand up, you're bending what? Knees and ankles, hinging at your hips.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the point he's trying to make is, I'm better, as in I have had surgery, I am healed, but it takes a while to get the full mobility, flexibility, and then, only then, can you actually work on your leg strength and the things you have to do in the offseason. He missed the whole offseason of basically working out. And if you'll remember, when we learned, Ben Johnson told us, as we talk about Braxton Jones and the run through the locker room with Mark Grody after the game last night here on Raheem and Harris, if you listened, we all thought, oh, it'll be a miracle if he can start, if he's not even going to be ready for the start of camp. He's made strides. It's just no one else is kind of, I guess, past him.
This segment with Raheem and Harris and Mark Grody, our Bears hit on 670 The Score, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And I've said this before. I think when you're drawing up your trick plays, when you get to be the mad scientist, you're gaming for what your individuals do well. And I've always thought that Braxton Jones in space, like if you set up a screen pass and he's moving, I feel like he is a guy who, when he's healthy, can do that for you. He's great when it comes to being a downfield blocker and making tackles in space. The bigger question becomes, your second round pick in Ozzie Trapillo, who I think you might have wanted there, is not working out well. And I know there was a lot of surprise about what we saw out of Theo Benedict last week. But when you go back and you look at the tape of that game in game one of the preseason, not only did you see him picking up his own blocks, what I thought was really encouraging was that you saw him we talk about help defense all the time in the NBA. There was help blocking going on with Theo Benedict. Like, he would finish his block and get some guy completely out of the way of the play, and then he'd help somebody else. And that's where I think the technique comes in. Like, we're seeing a lot more deliberate blocking schemes on the Bears offensive line overall. But all of that to say, your best laid plan is still probably not the one that's playing out right now for your team.
As in, Trapillo would ideally be your best left tackle?
Potentially. I mean, what is the direction when you decide to draft the 6'8 guy who normally played right tackle.
Yeah.
And that right tackle spot, as we all know, is probably the most settled on the team outside of, you know, previously. Last year, for example, that's your most settled spot on the team.
Darnell Wright's
not moving.
Of course.
So then now you know you've got like a log jam of guys with similar skill sets, but nobody's really standing out.
Well, and I said that from the beginning. I have anybody that asked me, and when I had chances to get in front of a microphone, I said it's not realistic to think that a guy who played mostly right tackle in college is going to come up and win the left tackle job in a year that is not in rebuild mode. You're not just throwing anybody out there, which is part of what I have actually appreciated about this, that it's an actual competition and they're not just making stuff up. They don't have their built-in bias. Actually, they probably did have a built-in bias to have Trapillo be the guy. But they're like, no, it ain't working. So previous regimes have not comported themselves that way. They had a preconceived idea.
And they wrote it way too hard. Even this regime.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson with Ryan Poles, I'm going to force this square peg into a round hole. We've seen that with other, I don't know, third round picks. I just think when you look at where they are now, and we talked about a little bit on Friday, but Layla, Theo Benedet is out here getting run. There's a reason Theo Benedet is out here getting run, and it's mainly because no one else took the bull by the proverbial horns.
Well, also, it just says a lot about your talent development. Think about that spot. And think about how much we talk about the offensive line and how there was 27 combinations of offensive linemen last year for the Bears. Theo Benedet was somebody who they didn't even think would see the field in a game. And even with all the opportunities, what does that say about your talent development last season when this is a guy who we see look like that in games and in practice to a qualified coach?
Yeah, I mean, like I was just thinking about this. The Bears' best left tackle in the last 10, 15 years, Charles Leno, ladies and gentlemen. Like, I'm just saying, like, they still got to get that figured out. Let me move on here with our Bears hit. Did you say two words? Bears hit two words.
After 38-0?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I just wanted to confirm. We'll see what Lawrence says. Lawrence is usually the decider.
Judge.
Yeah, he is the judge. We'll see. And I do think Lawrence will be on today after the first Cubs game. Olamide Zaccheaus. I told you guys we would hear from, and I said somewhat sexy football talk here from Olamide Zaccheaus, who had the 36-yard touchdown.
Legend. Modestly sexy
modestly
football?
Modestly sexy. Well, I'll let you
what
guys.
What about this?
Partially sexy?
Talk.
Ooh, yeah. What did you say before? Shoulder yeah. Showing
bare
sexy?
Bare shoulder football.
Yeah, fetching football talk. Just a little something. Just a little something to get you excited.
I think they call that a tease.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teasing going on out there. It's the Rehimi and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Are you gonna ask Ben Johnson a question like that, and will he vomit?
If I could get a Bears
get
head coach to
being
vomit.
Uncomfortable.
Hey, like if you just get him to revile him just a little bit, like curl yeah. Back.
If you see something, say something.
Coach, our goal is to get you to vomit.
Yeah. Can you go ahead and throw up, sir? We appreciate that.
Oh, candy. Awesome.
Alamide. How about that? All right. Cheeks. Alamide. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
See.
It's everywhere.
You crossed the line.
It's
the cheeks
everywhere.
Crossed the line.
What?
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, DJ Moore hates the conversation already, right?
What? What?
We're way too off.
Here
we're way too off the rails for practical DJ.
Olamide Zaccheaus talking about his 36-yard touchdown. You're not going
to
play
everything
it out,
happens
Robbie?
So quick. You have to make quick decisions. And I knew when I caught the ball, I'd probably going to have maybe one or two people to make miss. And then seeing the post safety, it's kind of like stopped his feet. But I thought he had a little bit more momentum, so I kind of stopped my feet. I was getting ready to cut, but I seen that he stopped his momentum like almost completely, so I just kept running.
You got to navigate a lot of things in that moment, right?
Yeah, and, I mean, I said that happens quick, so you just got to kind of trust your instincts and like what you see at the moment and then just roll. So
you're still learning Ben Johnson and his like tendencies in a game, but like when you see the score, you see that you guys are like still going for it on, you know, in the fourth quarter. What does that teach you just to kind of about his relentless, like we're going to, you know, put up a lot of points, we're going to win this game by a lot?
I mean, this is how he is. This is what he does even, you know, throughout his career. As a coach, like you see that, you know, put up 50 plus points last year, I think two times. So you just see like that's just who he is and how he rolls. So
semi-sexy, moderately sexy.
Yeah.
It's mostly sexy.
It's not cheek sexy.
Yeah, you went overboard with the cheeks. Yeah. You had me really listening for like, oh, what's he going to say?
The plays he was involved in were sexy.
I wanted it to be sexy so badly that I oversold it. But
no,
I do.
No. Yeah.
But it was.
Yeah. We take our W's. Come on.
Okay. It's a 38-0 day. You're right. That was a win.
It was a one-off. It was a one-night. I'm sorry. One-play stand. He had one catch. Now the catch went to the house. Don't get me wrong.
No, I loved seeing that. Like a guy catching the ball in space.
And then
disposing of space, two defenders, and then to see the real-time game speed of Olamide Zaccheaus. There's guys who run the 40-yard dash well, and it doesn't always translate in space or in game. What I'm seeing from Olamide Zaccheaus, and he is fast. Like the game speed, the practice speed, is something with Olamide Zaccheaus. I enjoyed that play last night.
Is he their most underrated free agent pickup?
I mean, I don't think so because of how much we've talked about him. Like, we knew exactly. We're like, oh, who's in the slot? And then we asked the question. We get Olamide Zaccheaus. We also knew that he was going to factor in on special teams. And then I think it was the surprise when they got Luther Burden. But I can't say yes to that because we did discuss him so much.
We did discuss him a lot. I just thought once Luther Burden III got taken with the first of their 3 second-round picks that, okay, maybe Zaccheaus isn't going to have the role I thought he was. But since then, he's done everything to prove, yes, I deserve a role in this offense.
Also, when was the last time you found yourself saying phrases about Bears offensive players doing things? Like, I found myself going, oh, yeah, that was a nice split of the safeties there. And I'm like, whoa. When was the last time I even said that?
Yeah, you're like,
I was like take. Celine Dion, it's all coming back to me now. And the video is super dramatic, but that's kind of how I felt. And then I'm like, oh, the Bears got the ball back already. And I was like, what?
I think that's
look at this time. I'm like, oh, they got the ball back? Like, neat.
It took me a while to notice on the scoreboard, too. Neat.
That's the one-off. There's meat, and then there's what neat. We heard today. Neat.
You're looking up like as a reporter there at the game, and you're not really paying attention to the score because that's not what the preseason is about. And you're like, oh, damn, it's 21-0. Bears are up 21-0. Do we have time to hear from Mr. Cole Kmet? I got two more cuts here. We don't have time. It's okay.
Okay, we have a choose your own team adventure here.
Okay. Production meeting.
Yeah, we're going to have to produce on the fly.
Where's Parth?
No.
I think we got it.
We're all grows up.
Lockout management. Yeah,
I think we got to pivot.
I don't know, man.
It's the biggest series of the year, and not everybody's playing their best.
I'm going to leave it
up
to you
guys.
They hired
me to drive.
Oh, yeah. Layla's the driver.
All right. Tell me, Grody, tell me what you... Tell me why this next segment should be Bears.
Well, if it was to be Bears, I would say we've been talking about Luther Burden, and I know you guys want to hear from Luther Burden, who is developing, and there's a progression. And there's Cole Kmet talking about his big play down the seam last night and what he thought about thriving on the first drive, which the Bears never did last year.
All right, Marshall.
Cubs, Marshall.
Burden, I'm in on. But maybe we split it up because I'm telling you, Kyle Tucker's got to be better than what he has been. And I think that's something we need to discuss.
I know. And I think we could also move that a little bit to the 5 on it at noon. And well, I know. Well, and we're going to talk to Derek Stevens about the big trip at 11:45. So maybe after that, too, we can discuss it because I agree. All right.
What are we doing?
Bears.
Oh, we are doing Bears.
I've decided.
Okay.
All right. And next time, in the interest of fairness, we will... We'll give you the ball.
You just earned another bear, by the way, Layla.
Oh, see, I can't do this. I'm not pay to play, okay?
Yeah,
I can't be bought.
And so there's some suspicions. There's some suspicions surrounding you wanting to do bears that you were trying to get another bear. So.
No. Selfishly, I just think we should. I think we should do more.
All right,
the Bears got 500 yards of offense in some sort of game.
Never goes out of style, Ronnie.
I needed this.
It's a preseason game.
And you know what? I don't need to stress out about the buzzsaw coming to town.
Whoa! They're not a buzzsaw.
Just because they lost one game doesn't mean they're not a buzzsaw.
Did you see the whole series?
You got a prediction? Well, the Cubs going to win 5 in a row, Marshall?
All right, we'll do that. We'll do that a little bit later.
So Marshall said.
More Bears next!
That's not what you said.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Luther Burden. He did it again. Listen, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse here. I know he's run blocking and it's not. But you can see his guys, they saw it. Do you see how physical he is as a wide receiver?
If he keeps blocking people, you beat that horse then.
As a young rookie trying to earn the respect of his teammates and coaches, his two goal line reps will go further for his credibility in the locker room than any catches, any touchdown, anything he does.
No block, no rock, baby. You heard Greg Olson talk about it on the Fox broadcast last night. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We're doing an extended Bears hit with Mark Grody on Marshall and Harris because, well, is me. I'm taking the hit. So if Mitch Rosen calls me...
You definitely meant Rahimi and Harris. You said Marshall and Harris.
That was awesome.
I just want to make sure.
No, Marshall, you know what?
It's the Marshall and Harris show.
You know what? It should be the Marshall and Harris show for,
it should
for
not.
One day.
But I'm glad Grody's here with the Bears.
I'm hosting a Mark and Grody show on Thursday night, 6 to 8, I think, is what I have.
Thursday night? I'll tune in.
Nobody wants the Layla and Rahimi show.
Oh, no, they do. The Layla and Rahimi show is happening
now.
I
have
said the name
me.
Of the show where I didn't even include my name.
Yeah, you did.
No, I'm saying multiple times. Like, I've called it other names of this show and, like, didn't even include. I was like, I'm sitting in this chair. It doesn't matter. What matters is I'm confessing, and if I get punished for doing this, calling this audible, then I will take the heat.
I don't think
you're going to get punished for calling any audibles.
What do you got?
But let's get into it. Let's get right
Grody,
to it.
Do you want to give me one more?
Yeah,
you want more from my Bears
you.
Head?
Yeah, right. You're the thing that we've got.
Here is the thing that I would like to present to you now. It is Cole Kmet, who I think, like, I don't know how you guys reacted when he caught that ball up the seam, the 29-yard pass to Cole Kmet, but I was like, oh, nice, because it just is something that seemed foreign to me because we barely saw this man targeted last year, let alone make big plays. And he made some big plays. I think back to the Jacksonville game when things were rolling in London.
That's a long time ago.
It's been 83 years.
83.
Here's Cole Kmet on that play and maybe some of the bigger meaning that I was trying to get to with him.
Even though it's the preseason, does that feel good because it's early in the game where you guys had so much trouble, like in those first series, and there were too many games too where we were talking about how you were not getting targeted. So did it feel good to make that connection?
Well, yeah, whenever you're having positive plays, it feels good. So, I thought, from the first play, and I just had a 6-7 yard gain to Colston and then down the middle to get it going, especially we were kind of backed up there to begin with. So kind of get some breathing room, and the pass game was really great. DJ had a really good route, on the third down, and Caleb put a good ball on him. And then obviously OZ with the little option route there and scoring from 30-something yards out. So, yeah, that was good to see. It was good stuff.
Multiple tight ends targeted on the first drive. It was like, right. Mine,
the first two targets, the first two catches.
First two catches, right. That little, rolls to the right. Caleb Williams hits Colston Loveland, then to Cole Kmet on the 29-yarder. Later, the second and 15 conversion to Colston Loveland for 17 or 18 yards. So those were some really heartening things. It's funny, man. It's really funny talking. I mean, there's a lot more Cole Kmet as part of that interview, but Cole Kmet is so different in the locker room now than he was in his first 2 years when everything was great. Everything was, oh yeah, this offense is going places, and I tell you what, the offensive coordinator is great. He's so much more measured now. He's so much more, it's preseason. You know what I mean? Like, he reacted there, and he answered all of our questions the way Cole Kmet always does in terms of being pleasant. But you talk about a guy who's seen way too much now in his Bears life to be like, oh, yeah, this is it. So he didn't really want any part of the fact that it was 38-0 last night, or that even that play, I had to really dig it out of him to get him to get excited about it.
Well, I think last season was such a letdown from not just the actual results and the record and the big headlines, but the way he was used and the way he was targeted. And after having such a positive year the year before, that I understand why he's hesitant. Wouldn't you be? Like, you're excited you're excited to be involved on the first drive, but then I'm also thinking, oh, that play where he's involved in drive number one, 29 yards, that was a significant percentage of his yardage last season.
Layla, wow. Last year, I don't remember what the incident was. Maybe it was the Tyreek Stevenson thing that we were talking to Cole Kmet about last year. We said, you know, that's one of the, you know, this has been one of the craziest years, and, you know, the Bears with all the stuff going on and all the weirdness. And he's like, I've been here a long time. I don't know if that's the craziest thing that I have seen. Yeah.
Well,
and
that's
him now, man. That's a veteran now who is like, you guys can tell me how great everything was, but things have been great before the preseason.
Well, you have to kind of take a step back when you're talking to Cole Kmet and understand that not only has he seen multiple double-digit losing streaks, the man, his first year, had three catches in a playoff game. So, like,
what?
Back to what you're talking about, he probably remembers, like, and he was in a great mood because, hey, we went to the playoffs. We lost, but we went to the playoffs. And ever since then, what has it been, Mark? Layla, what has it been ever since then?
Even that darkness. Didn't feel like. I mean, that was a dark playoff year, too. I mean, that was like, what were they, 500?
Grody, the MVP was just here. I'm not going to have you selling Mitch Trubisky like that.
Aww.
He's starting to really get up there in career earnings.
I'm happy for Mitch Trubisky. Like, I heard, I was not out there for the dual practice, but Wiederer shared it with me, and it just, like, I'm happy that he's happy and that he seriously has good feelings about his time in Chicago.
Making a run at first team all clipboard. Making a run.
That was shocking. Yes.
That he had such good feelings about it.
Yes.
I agree. I thought we were going to get more of an ambiguous answer. Like, you know, I wish things would have worked out, but they didn't. And there's lots of reasons for that. But no, it was like, hey, man, turn the TVs back on. I'm happy to be here.
He looks
back on his career in Chicago as fondly. At least I believed him when he said that.
Your boy Dan Wiederer also was part of an article written. And I think you know, there was a lot of really in-depth work done at the end of his last season where you realized he tried, and he tried more than we thought he did.
Yeah. By the way, do you guys know where Dan Wiederer works now? Have you guys been hearing this?
Do tell.
Dan Wiederer, my partner on the Take the North podcast, now works at The Athletic.
Oh, yes. I thought you just took the Take the North job as a full-time job.
Oh, man. That we've tried that, Dan and I. Can we just make this full-time? And we just bears every day.
Talk it up.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, Dan is now at the Athletic. So
I saw him
at
a Cubs game recently once.
Weedsy? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Weedsy does other sports.
He had his... Oh, he wasn't covering it, was he? No,
no,
he was there with all his bros.
I was there with my girlfriends, and he had a big group of bros, so we were just all broing out together.
Yo, with the bros meet the babes, man. I love it.
Yeah,
it's like a little...
We're like, hey, man, how's outside going? And we're like, it's pretty fun.
I would have gone with the bros meet the ladies, but hey, to each their own.
How dare you? You've met my friend group.
Yeah. Layla, did you have a problem with that?
I thought babes is a little antiquated. Knowing them, they'd
like it.
Wait, so. Women don't like to be babes?
I guess. Not all women I know, but yeah.
It's the Rahimi and Harris Show.
It is.
It's the Marshall and Harris Show.
Oh, yeah, it's the Marshall and Harris Show.
Featuring Layla Rahimi and Mark
Rohde.
Featuring Layla Rahimi and me, Mark Rohde.
I don't want to hear it from you, Robbie. I took the responsibility for changing it up this segment. I'm going to live in it.
You guys want to hear from Luther?
That's who I've been waiting to hear from. Yeah.
He wore sunglasses inside last night after the game.
Yeah. Who was that? Corey Hart that did that for all of us?
I wear my sunglasses at night.
Yeah. I believe that.
When he wasn't hitting home runs against the Cubs.
Okay. God, yeah, the old Brewer. Yeah. Good callback, man. Right fielder? I think he was a right fielder. Old Corey Hart with a long, stringy blonde hair. Here is Luther Burden on winning.
That's what you do it for, man. We put all the work in throughout the week. You know, we had a great week of prep, and it just showed. So,
what makes a great week of prep for you guys?
Just coming in, you know, getting the details right, just making sure, you know, everybody know their assignment, and should we go out there, play fast, play for each other.
Do you guys feel like you're peaking in that area, like starting to really stack those kinds of days together, or is that what it's always been?
Yeah, that's highly important. We're just trying to continue to stack good days of practice, and, you know, it's going to show on Sundays.
And that was a little Roma Dunze interjected. That's why he had that little giggle right there. But that's Luther Burden, like I said. Like,
He's a pretty straight shooter.
He's about
his doesn't
business.
Seem to suffer fools. He's very business-like. So we'll see how this progresses, but I just wanted to give you a little taste of Luther Burden.
I want Mark Grody to peel back the layers of Luther Burden the third of a course of his rookie season.
We'll be talking about Wendy's orders by, I'd say, like week eight or so. We'll be talking about baked potatoes
what
and Tevin Jenkins.
What will the Bears' record be in week eight?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think, I'm going to say it. I'm 4-4. That's an easy answer.
It's going to be hard to be 4-4 in week eight when there's a bye.
4-4 sounds
there.
About right. The bye.
Well,
how dare you?
You know, as I like to say, 500 is not just a record, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So there's that part.
We don't have
it.
To worry about that lifestyle
for a while. I think it has more to do with if you're a rookie and you know what's been said about you and you're the slightest bit self aware, which he seems to be, and he knew that he missed a lot of time. He's not taking any victory laps right now. He is telling you what he's been told to do, and I think that is the right way to approach it.
For him specifically, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about his self-awareness. He knows exactly what it is, and he's like, okay, how do I get from point A to whatever point I want to be at? Right now, I just follow orders, show up to work, do my job, don't cause trouble. And he seems like that's been his approach. Every time I've heard him talk, there's been no pleasantries.
That's a good way to put it.
But you know what? And the best way to show that, I feel like on the field, the best way to show that you are the team player that you say you are or that you want to be is what he's doing.
Exactly.
When you're blocking like that and you're blowing people off of the line of scrimmage as a receiver.
On run plays.
When you're doing the things that you were told to do and you're sacrificing your body like that, that's the love language in football, right? So as long as I'm still seeing that, then I'm really bullish on what he can do.
And Weider and I have talked about this on Take the North too. Like, it's good to have guys in the locker room that are not necessarily saying stuff, but you know there's something in there. And it is up to us to get that out of them. We like the challenge of it. I think the way Weider puts it, you got to have some guys you have a healthy fear of when you go to talk to them because you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, there's guys like in the past that, you know, are moody dudes that are like, you know, you're always taking a chance when you go talk to those guys. I'm not saying that about Burden, but I feel like there's a lot to open up about him and his personality, and I like it.
Yeah. Let's peel back the layers of the onion of Luther Burden. But most importantly, show us what you're doing on the field. And we've got layers like that, then they deserve to be celebrated. Coming up next here on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score, we have a big trip coming up this week, and you can get involved. So Derek Stevens, the head of Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, joins us next to talk about it all.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
I want him to think that I'm pondering a call, but all I'm really thinking about is Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas!
Appropriately, we go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today to talk about our trip coming up with the man himself. He is the head of Circa Resort and Casino, Derek Stevens. Derek, we also get to celebrate Ben Johnson having a really nice offensive performance as head coach with the Bears, you know. I had to rub that in a little bit just because I know you're a Lions guy.
Well, first off, great to talk to you. We cannot wait to have all of you out in Vegas here next week for our football contest sign-up weekend. We're looking forward to that. And, no, I'm glad. I'm glad Ben Johnson's showing off a little bit. That's good. It's good. If the Bears are good, it's good for football. It's good for us. So we're good.
We are thrilled to join you out in Las Vegas for the contest weekend. It's always a really fun event. It's a great vibe. I've been out there a few times now in August. The people that we meet are a lot of fun. It's definitely a lot of football fans. So we want to tell everybody what we're doing. It starts for us on Thursday. We're going to broadcast from 8 to 10:45 a.m. Pacific time. We're our normal time here, Radio Row and Galaxy Ballroom. Then on Friday, we are live from Stadium Swim from 8 to 12 Pacific time. That, of course, is our regular slot from 10 to 2. It's such a fun event. I know that the ante has been upped almost every year. People are into it at Circa. Derek, what can you tell us about the Circa Million, Circa Survivor, and what all people can expect for contest weekend?
Yeah, so our Circa Million, that's the traditional football contest where you handicap and you pick five games each week against the spread. We have quarterly payouts as well as we pay the 100 deep in the overall for the whole season. The winner gets $1 million plus the famed blue jacket. But overall, it's $6 million worth of payouts. And if we have more than $6 million of entries, it all goes back into the pot because we don't take any rake. The cost is $1,000 to enter. And the great thing about it is you can play from anywhere. So you just have to sign up in Vegas, sign up at Circa, but then you can play from anywhere because a proxy can get your picks in. So like when you guys sign up, you'll be able to have a proxy there to be able to help get the picks in throughout the whole season. So hopefully maybe some of the listeners here today that want to get in that can't make it out, maybe they can buddy up with you and some of your people you're going out with and jump in the millions. That is a great, great contest. It's been around for a long time and a lot of ways to win.
Derek, I'm excited to get out there. It'll be my first time coming out to Circa. I know contest weekend open for anyone who has signed up for Circa Survivor or Circa Million. We've got an open bar at Bar Canada Thursday night. We've got Stadium Swim Friday afternoon, a legacy club mixer on Friday night. So a lot of these things are appealing to me as someone who's never been to Circa. I want to ask you about the big boy contest, though, because I know if you want to spend more than maybe $1,000, you want to get in with the big dogs. You guys have upped the ante this year, right?
Yeah. So let me just talk about Circus Survivor. Last year, it came out at $14.2 million for Circus Survivor. That's where you just pick one game each week, no point spread. But it gets progressively more difficult because you can only pick a team once per season. So we ended up with $14.2 million of entries last year. And we're going to blow that away this year. The demand for this contest has gone through the roof. It'll set an all-time record, the largest legal football contest in history. I don't know where we're going to end up, but we're guaranteeing $15 million, but I think we might end up at more like $17 million. So that'll be the biggest contest ever. And then to address what you just asked, Circa Grandissimo. This is the first year ever for Circa Grandissimo. This is a contest exactly like Circa Survivor, except for the fact that it's $100,000 to enter. We were hoping to get 15 people to enter, but we already blew past that. We're already at 18, and I know we've got a number of appointments set up in the next couple weeks. So that's going to be, you know, well into the 20s, maybe into the 30s. So maybe $3 million on Circa Grandissimo in his first year of this contest.
We're talking to Derek Stevens, the head of Circa Resort and Casino and also Circa Sports Illinois. And I know, Derek, there's some news regarding Circa lately in the state of Missouri. What can you tell us?
Yeah, we applied. Missouri had a unique process where they have two untethered licenses. That means you get the license directly from the state. And then there was going to be another 12 licenses available if you partner with a casino or a sports team. So we had a backup plan to partner with a sports team if we didn't get the untethered license, but we did win it. So somehow between FanDuel, DraftKings and ourselves, DraftKings and Circa Sports came out with the two untethered licenses. So we're pretty happy about that. And we'll launch in Missouri on December 1st. That's their launch day. So, right now, I think a lot of people in Illinois are going across, or people in Missouri are going across the bridge to Illinois. I think that might even out now at this point, down at least in the southern part of Illinois.
Well, that's big news. I know a lot of people are interested in that, and that was something where a lot of times, yeah, if a lot of Circus Sports Illinois traffic would come from Missouri. So December 1st is the day. Anything else you want to let us know about just what's going on locally here, both in Illinois and in Missouri, of course?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, you know, in Chicagoland, big thing in all Illinois for Circus Sports is we made the decision we're not going to charge a fee on making a bet. We've had some commercials that came out recently. What we're going to do is we're just going to raise our minimum. I mean, we can't take a charge on a $2 or $3 bet. So we're raising our minimum to $10. But what we felt was that kind of protected the real bettors. And we just don't think that bettors should have to pay a fee to make a bet in Illinois. So we've avoided that. We've come out with the fact that the way we're going to handle it is just, like I said, raising the minimum bet to $10. But we just don't think that you should have to pay a fee to make a bet in Illinois. So that's something that for us is kind of a big deal relative to the market, because a lot of things in the market are going to change September 1st.
Well, Derek, we know you're the man to ask. Thank you so much for joining us. We are looking forward to seeing you on Thursday. It is a very fun vibe to be out at Circa, especially this weekend. The pool is always a lot of fun. I meet a lot of fun people, too, who really do love sports. It is that type of place. So, Derek, looking forward to it, and we are happy to be here for football contest weekend.
Yeah, we can't wait to see you. A couple things of note. I promise you that even though the temperature outside says 107, it's going to be a dry heat in Vegas when wow. You're there. The pool temperature is going to be terrific, and the beer will be always 34 degrees, so you'll be in good shape.
There it is, and I'm pretty sure Mitch is making sure the cabana is nice and shady, but I can say that I've spent a lot of time in the pool when it's that hot, and it is fine, so we can do it as a team. It'll be tough. Somebody's got to do it, but I guess it has to be us.
All right, I'll see you guys next week. Can't wait.
Thanks so much, Derek. That was Derek Stevens of Circa Resort and Casino with some big news here in Illinois as well and in Missouri. So you have that coming up in December to look forward to as well.
The dry heat. Always the dry heat.
I'm not just saying this because I'm acclimated to it, but it really isn't that. It's not as bad as you think. When it gets to be that temperature, it all matters about how long you can stay outside. But at that pool, you can stay outside a very long time.
Living in Sacramento, 110, 115, it didn't feel like that, though.
Dude, the humidity in this city this summer is as bad as I have ever noticed it. So normally I'd be like, oh, come on with the, yeah, you guys might be going to a more pleasant atmosphere when you go to Las Vegas.
And I'm not just saying this. Like, you do meet a lot of really fun people at the pool. Like, there are guys who have like their entire like fantasy football draft boards they're working on. Wow. Like, it's a really fun place if you like sports and you're extroverted like me, or you just want to chill at the pool. I'm not just saying this because I've been there a bunch. I'm saying it because it really is a fun place to talk to people and just hang out.
I'm picturing you two floating around in the pool with your shades on and like a nice drink with an umbrella in it, you with your leg up, probably treating yourself. I'm talking about Marshall here because he's always propped up, you know.
I'm just trying to survive, okay, yeah. Mark? I'm just trying to
Marshall's got a bum wheel right now.
Let me live.
So you two are going, is Ray or Robbie going, or is it just the two of you?
Ray's coming with us.
Hey, how about it?
And Ray and I typically like get a little walk in outside. We try to check out downtown a little bit.
Yeah.
Ray and I explore.
You two are good vacationers.
Yeah, we like to do a little outside project here and there, just like look around. We got a little too far out of the city limits one time.
Oh man, we sure did.
I probably won't be going as far as them as you can imagine.
Ray and I took a really long walk because again it wasn't that bad out, and then where I was like, oh, where do we go? And we were several miles away from Circa and the Strip.
Stop looking like Vegas, that's for sure. We're in the desert.
We've reevaluated our perimeters. And yes, in case you're wondering, I will pay homage. I will make a pilgrimage to Mantis.
Mantis.
Mantis. Mantis. Studs has got his hands up in the back. Studs was there for his bachelor party. What was it? Was it a month ago, Studs?
Bruh.
It was a month ago, according to Studs. And Studs has his Club Dub shirt on. So please congratulate Adam Studzinski on the Bears win. We are back with more here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. Five on is next. We will talk Cubs, okay? I didn't mean to ignore them. I just, you know.
Bears.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.